This week, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to be learning. We are going to be learning more about details about the brachas of the tefillin. We'll be talking about what happens if you take the tefillin off mid-davening. You say a new bracha when you put it back on. We'll be learning also a little bit about the correct timing of taking them off. We'll be talking about taking them off on Chol HaMoed. And some restrictions about how to take them off, etc. And then we'll be talking about this, the hopefully unlikely case of a person only has got one tefillin. What should he do about brachas? Perhaps we'll even reach this week, I don't know if we will, perhaps we'll reach this week the halachas of the correct placement, Simon Chav Zayin, about the correct placement of the tefillin. Okay, before doing so, Rabbi Issa, I also wanted to share with you, I saw this Shabbos, a story which I'd heard, which I heard previously, but I saw it this week. The Chofetz Chaim brings a story. The Chofetz Chaim in one of his Sforim, Sfas Tomim, it's like one of the not so much learned Sforim. He brings a story of the Vilna Gaon, and it's true. I heard this story once from Meir Rebbe Avraham Shmulevitz, the name of his father, Chaim Shmulevitz. Also the same story, and he reminded me. So the Vilna Gaon, just before he passed away, just before he was Nifta, he was once. He could see that he was very distressed. He was very, very distressed, and he was already, elderly. He was very distressed. He was upset, and somebody, I don't know if it was his Talmud, Reb Mendel Mishklov, or another Talmud, went up to him and said, "Rebbe, why do you look so upset?" He said, "I'm soon going to leave Olam Hazeh." And he said, "That's not like the Vilna Gaon to be upset about leaving Olam Hazeh. That's not like him, you know. He said, no, I'm upset to leave Olam Hazeh." He said, "Why are you upset to leave Olam Hazeh?" He said, "Because in this world, you can do mitzvahs so easily. And once a person goes into Olam HaEmes and Olam HaBod, there's no way whatsoever that a person can still continue to steig and continue to grow. There's nothing a person can do. Wherever he ends up, that's where he ends up, and that's it. Man, he can't go more." He says, "In this world, it's so easy. Then it's so easy to do mitzvahs." So the Talmud asked, "What kind of mitzvahs? What kind of mitzvahs is he to do?" So he held on to his tzitzis, and he said, "Tzitzis." It says, it's like we saw the last seif in Hilchos Tzitzis taught us that somebody's mekayem mitzvah tzitzis. It's as if mekabel pnei hashchina. It's as if he's, in a way, mekabel pnei hashchina. It's so easy. For a few kopekas, that was the lashon that the Vilna Gaon apparently used. For a few kopekas, for a few pounds, you can mekayem the mitzvah of tzitzis. And it's so easy. In the next world, even whatever one tries and attempts to do, it's impossible to still grow and still go from level to level. For mitampor kopekas, you can even mekabel pnei hashchina, something which is unachievable at all in the Olam HaEmes. So Chaim Shmulev, that's what the Vilna Gaon apparently said, and he was nifta shortly after. And then the Chofetz Chaim brings the Chaim Shmulevitz, when he said the story, he said, "You know, and I think that it's even easier than mitzvah tzitzis. Even easy mitzvah tzitzis is mitzvah benom lechaveru. It's so easy to make a person happy, give him a smile, give him a shalom aleichem. It's so easy. It's even easier than that." That's Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's addition. But I just thought it's an important perspective as we learn in the tzitzis. And the same applies with tefillin as well. Every second a person, we're going to speak about that. Every second a person has the opportunity of wearing tefillin is mekayem mitzvah d'oraisa. So if a person appreciates the value of the mitzvah, that in its own is something very, very choshu. I also want to add something else which I saw over Shabbos, in line with what we discussed last week. I saw a very, very interesting, we spoke extensively about the two brachas that we recite when we put on tefillin. Leoniach, I'm not talking to you, sorry. When we put the Leoniach, And then al mitzvahs tefillin. So I saw that. I mean, the question is a very good question. The minhag of the Sfardim is a brilliant minhag. You make one bracha, it's one mitzvah. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says you do one bracha. We saw the Rama says our minhag is to do. But the question is a good question. Well, how can we do two brachas on one mitzvah? So I did see that the Chazon Ish said. That the Chazanish apparently said you only make one bracha. Here you go. That even some Ashkenazim, Stipe Lagon, his brother-in-law, also only made one bracha. And apparently some say that privately the Chofetz Chaim himself apparently only, so they say. That's what I saw Shabbos. Chofetz Chaim himself only said one bracha on mitzvahs, on Leoniach and on putting in tefillin shel Rosh, and he only made one bracha. There's no evidence in Mishneh Berurah. In Mishneh Berurah himself, he doesn't say that, but apparently people who are close to Chofetz Chaim said he only recited one bracha because it remains a bit of a difficulty to understand why we recite two brachas. So that's an interesting, just as a little footnote to add that. And finally, what I want to add as well was, a very nice, unexpected Orcha Shulchan about the Baruch Shem from Chusur Omvay that we spoke about last week. Yeah? So the obvious question was, we discussed.
If it's a
Baruch Shem. Exactly. How can you put yourself straight into Baruch Levaton after the Baruch Shem? So I saw the Orcha Shulchan says a very nice vault. And it's not, it sounds like a Dvar Torah kind of thing, instead, but it's Halacha Shulchan, it's Halacha Sefer. He says that, no, because what you really do is, when a person puts on tefillin, then he's Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when else do we accept uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shema, exactly. What do we say after reciting Shema? Baruch Shem. So, Och Shulchan says, when a person puts on the tefillin, it's as if it's Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the uniqueness. It's like saying Shema. And after Shema, you say Baruch Shem. After putting on tefillin, you also say Baruch Shem. Yeah, so he said because the bracha tefillin shel Rosh, that's, he goes into a, in the stat, he says because that's a birkas, it's not a birkas hamitzvah, it's a birkas hanenin, so he's got to be over shtickin on that, whatever, it's, I don't exactly understand his whole vault, I had a few, but that's what he says, so that's just an additional explanation, why is it that we say Baruch Shem, nothing to do with bracha levatol, of course it's not bracha levatol, there's no way, because the chatchila put ourselves in bracha levatol, nothing to do with it, but the reason why we say Baruch Shem is because it's like when we say Shema, we say Baruch Shem afterwards. So also when we put on the tefillin afterwards, we say Baruch Shem because it's accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. I thought it's a very nice vault. Okay. Having said all this, Rabbi Yisai, we are ready to move on, and we're going to be discussing here the halachas of Seif Yud Aleph. So Rabbi Yisai Simon Chafei Seif Yud Aleph, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us. Acha shekosha shel yad. After putting on the tefillin shel yad, al hazroya on the arm. So the precise location is discussed in the later siman. After putting it on, yoniach shel rosh, you put the tefillin shel rosh. Is that correct? Is that what we do? No, it's not what we do. Why? Exactly. And look, he said it explicitly. Koidem, you put on the tefillin shel Rosh before sheichoy charetzua sovu hazroya. You put on the tefillin shel Rosh before wrapping around your arm. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yisrael, let's make no mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, explicitly, you put on tefillin shel yad. You don't go around. You just put it on tight. You then go to the tefillin shel Rosh. You put him on. Obviously, with a bracha, if you say one, and then after you finish off, what's the reason for that? Why does Shulchan Aruch hold that's the a hefsek? Of course. Well, what which hefsek are you referring to? But 1 minute. But why you're making two brachas?
That's the
right. So the answer is, first of all, Shulchan Aruch holds you make one bracha. Anyways, according to Shulchan Aruch. But even if not, we learned previously that even if you don't recite brachas, you have to minimize the hefsek. You go straight from tefillin shel yad to tefillin shel rosh. If you say brachas, you don't say brachas. Either way, because the pasuk says you should do one after the other. So the Shulchan Aruch, so it makes a lot of sense. You put on tefillin shel, you need to wrap them around to mekayem the mitzvah. You don't really need to. You mekayem the mitzvah by just putting it onto your arm. If it's tight, you mekayem the mitzvah. So Shulchan Aruch says, put it on after saying the bracha, and then put on tefillin shel rosh, and you do the finishing off later on. Sounds like an idea.
What's the makor
for the bracha? Oh, very good. We'll get there anyway. We'll get there. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch continues. V'yesh mi sha'oy ma sha'osu lo yitzit tefillin shel rosh me'atik ad she'tefillin shel yad munachas. Shulchan Aruch now goes into apparently a side point, and he says, no, you know that, just you know, don't take the tefillin shel rosh out of the bag of the tick of the tefillin bag, actually the tefillin shel yad munachas before the tefillin shel yad is properly set and properly put on. So make sure it's properly on tight, and only then you take it out of the bag. Okay. V'afim shneim lefonav chutz latigin, if they're in front of you already out of the bag, and sure lo yisakin liftoach tefillin shel rosh ad achanoch shel yad. Just make sure that you only start taking the tefillin shel rosh. Only start dealing with it once the tefillin shel yad is properly on. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, so going back to the former point, We're learning, Shulchan Aruch says, you put on the tefillin sheliyad before you wrap it around. And before you even wrap it around, you put on the tefillin shel rosh. That is not the minhag. Have you seen, is that what some people, are some sfadim do it like that? I don't think I've ever seen anybody doing it. I don't know, has anybody seen anybody doing that? Have you ever seen anybody who just put on the tefillin sheliyad, tight, and then goes to the shalosh, and then subsequently to all this? I don't think I've ever met anybody, but that's clearly what Shulchan Aruch is holding. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? So Mishnah Berurah says, in Seif Katan Lamed Ches, Uve Seifa, I'm skipping three lines. Uve Seifa Kavona Sari. We're now quoting the Kavona Sari, Rabbi Yisai. What's the Kavona Sari? It's the Arizal. It's Kabbalistic. The Arizal, he didn't write it himself, you know, it was written by his Talmidim. But he writes, he used to wrap seven around his arms seven times. He used to wrap it around before he put on tefillin shel rosh. Avoloi, but not Hagimel Kircha Shal Ha'etzva, but not the shin of your fingers. Why? Mipnei Shehu Soiva, because he held. Gam Kein Kemino Genu. Sorry, Mipnei Shehu Soiva, Kim Shalachat Chile Gam Kircha Isu Mitzvah. Since the Kircha is wrapping around, is also part of the Mitzvah. Lefichoch and the Hefsek, it's not considered a Hefsek. It's not interruption. Vechein Aminek, and that is the custom B'chol Mokoyim in every place.
It's from the Arizal.
It's from the Arizal. That's it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
How many years ago was the original?
Pardon?
We don't finish it off.
We don't finish it off because of Hefsek. Yeah. It's not Makif. No, because the reasoning is, this is such a crucial part of the mitzvah that you can do that before going. It's true, a person is surely mekayim the mitzvah without the kichos. But it's such an essential part of this. It's an essential extra.
It doesn't quote the Arizal very often.
It does at times. I mean, you're right. It there is certainly a chiddush here. I agree with you. It sounds like something which is so widely accepted, which is against the Shulchan Aruch, and it comes from the Arizal. It sounds like a very, very big chiddush. There is one point the Mishnah Berurah does add late in the name of the Achronim. He says as follows. He says, is it possible at all to put the tefillin shel yad on in a way that it stays there without the Sheva Kichos?
Because practically speaking,
if you don't wrap it around, it will go loose. Yeah. So the argument is that if you were to just put it fill in shaliyat without the kichos, if you just put it on, you're not going to make the mitzvah for very long because it's going to go loose.
You know, when you finish the yad, you just write.
Yeah.
Just do the same thing on your right. If you wanted, you could just tuck it on.
Right. I don't know what to say.
Otherwise, I don't know what to
say. Yeah. So he wants to say though that if you were. I also find it a very. What the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying in the name of the Ariyah Kodesh is that since the seven kichos, it's true, I can't mention without it, but it's such an essential plus. Does that make sense? An essential extra? It's an important extra. It's something which we all do. So since it's so essential, it's an essential extra. I can't mention without it. Make no mistake, I can't mention without it, but it's a very important. Addition, therefore you go ahead, you do it, and then you do the Tefillin Rosh. But however, when it comes to the kichos around the etzba, this is certainly not ma'akev. A person can really wrap it around over here before he goes to his fist, and he wraps it around. He's certainly, according to all the opinions of the Kamitz, the shin over here is just a minik. So you go over here, you finish it off, then you do the Tefillin Yad, then you do the Tefillin Rosh, and once you've done the Tefillin Rosh, then you finish it off over here. But I agree with your point. I'm also very intrigued by it. I'm really intrigued by it that we find over here something Shulchan Aruch said explicitly you have to do with a clear agenda, clear reasoning, clear rationale. And we said, Ariya Kodesh says, no, don't do it like that. I've got a better idea. And the whole world, universally, I've never seen anybody not doing that. The whole world, universally, without exception, goes with Ariya Kodesh. It's very interesting. And it's not even the Ari inside, it's the Kavanas. Pardon? Daria Kodesh. So I saw discussion about that. It's not clear.
If we did one bracha, we'd make more. more sense.
Well, if he does one bracha, then what? How do you say then?
He does.
Right, I hear. Yeah, there is a discussion. I did see a discussion amongst the authorities as to whether he held you to one bracha or two brachas.
Makes more sense one.
It makes more sense one, yeah.
Rabbi?
What?
I wonder.
Good question. It would be interesting to know. If anybody's got any.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I have a question. In the Art School Siddur.
Yes, Art School Siddur says what?
After you said Roshem Kavama, so there's an. Before you say Ashatich, it's got a brach, you say Ome Hamasacho El Elyon. After you say Roshem Kavama, so.
Yeah.
It then says, after the head to fill in, he's a pudding plate to recite, Ume Hamasacho El Elyon.
Yeah.
Is that common to do?
Some do, some don't. But that's an extra. That's certainly not an essential part of the mitzvah. That is an extra that some people choose to say. Yeah.
Because in the article it says after that, if it in, recite. It doesn't say, it just says recite it.
Right.
You don't have to.
Yeah. No, you don't have to. It's some do, some don't. Now, one point does come out from this. I think somebody raised this point last week. What happens if somebody is just putting on tefillin just before a kedusha or kaddish or a baruch hu, and you know you won't have time to put on tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh? So, based on what we're learning now, there's a very good idea what you should do. You could just wait, really, but if you are, whatever. But if you're not able to wait.
You
didn't realize. So there's an eitzah now, based on what we learned now, something a person must do, not should do, must do. Again, I don't think I've seen people doing it. You've done it. Yeah. So what, based on what we're learning now, what should you do? You put on film cell yad, and then you just do one, whoops, like this, and then you do the first rosh, obviously with bocha. And then you're ready for Kaddish, Kedush, Baruch Hu, go for it. And after you finish off the Seven Kichas. Yeah, that's what we're learning now. There's no problem with it. So apparently we have. Maserav, we have it. We have it here. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Okay, this is a very Rabbosai. I looked into the poskim a little bit. I didn't find any. It seems to be mamash universally accepted, and the starting point is the Ari HaKadosh, and I find it exceptional to what extent it overrides the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch over here.
Probably, I imagine.
Yeah, it's quite recent. Of course, you're right. 100%. It's a valid point. Absolutely, I'm very intrigued by this. Rabbi, so we continue the last words of the Ramah. As follows, Yesh Mishakasav, some right, Oniach Shalyad Miyoshev. Oh, by the way, before that, I just want to point out, here we've got the importance of putting the tefillin in the bag in a sensible way. What does it mean to put the tefillin in a sensible way? Yeah. You have to ensure, when you put the tefillin back in, that the tefillin shall rosh is behind the tefillin shall yad, because of what we learned now. Because you've got to make sure that the one that you reach out first is going to be the tefillin shel yad. Em lavir and a mitzvah, and even more than that. You've got to make sure that the one that comes out first is the tefillin shel yad. Some people, I heard last week, Jonathan shared with us, that there's a chumrah which makes a lot of sense. That you only zip it open, what was it?
Halfway.
You only zip open halfway. Why?
So you don't go over the...
Exactly, don't go over there. Very nice. Very, very nice. Very nice point. Others are makbet that they always place the tefillin shel yad nearer to the zip and the tefillin shel rosh further behind.
You just do one on the right and one on the left.
Yeah, you could do that. But if you do the one on the right and the left, so which one is on the right?
The shel yad on the right.
So, but when you open the zip, what's going to happen? When you zip completely, according to Jonathan's chumrah, you're not going to touch, but you've bypassed. When you're going to take now the tefillin shell, you have gone over the tefillin shell. So there's room for chumrah. There's room for chumrah. I hear it. It's nice chumrah. It's a nice chumrah. But again, I know that a lot of people. I remember from when I was, you know, the bar mitzvah, that lessons that we were taught was that you put the tefillin shel yad behind. The tefillin shel rosh behind the tefillin shel yad. So that's automatically when you put them back in, you ensure that there's a certain order there. Now we continue. So these are chumras which make sense halachically because we're talking about in ma'avrin al mitzvahs. Okay, yesh mishakasav leoniach shel yad miyoshev v'shel rosh me'umot. Some of the akpara says the Rama to put in tefillin shel yad miyoshev sitting v'shel rosh and in tefillin shel rosh me'umot whilst standing. Is that what you do? Over Medina is Elu in those countries, in the mid-European countries, Loinu Aguken, that's not the minhag, that's not the custom in the Ashkenazish countries, Elo, rather, Shteyen Me'umad, we stand for both. We stand for both. Is that what we do? That's what many do. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying it's not so poshut. Shtein me'umot, I'm Morgan Avraham Shiroitze Lachia, says Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Mem Beis. Morgan Avraham says, the Hanoch Shel Yad, Tim Yushev, when you put on the tefillin Shel Yad, you sit, Vabochati Bamido, and then standing up, you say the Bracha. So that's the third option now. You sit down for tefillin Shel Yad, putting him on, and you stand up when you make the Bracha. I don't know what the Morgan Avraham's reason is. I do not know. Yeah, I was also surprised. I don't know why. Morgan Avraham says you should stand up for the bracha. Yeah. I don't know why sitting. Yeah, so the argument is that for Birkas HaMitzvahs, often we sit. So, not always, but often we sit. The argument would be for tefillin shel, that you're for putting on tefillin, you should sit down. I think it's accepted it's accepted in the most Ashkenazi countries that you most Ashkenazi minogam is to stand for both. Haditzi, it was also a chiddush to me that I don't know why, but the Sfarim apparently when nobody was looking secretly he would do it like the Sfarim, tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. The strange thing about this story is. It wasn't that secret, right? People can say it over. So, secretly, when nobody would watch, he would do it like the Sfardim. Something that's not quite right about the story. But it couldn't have been that secret if people say the story over. But that's what they say over in the name of the Stipler. I don't know if it's true or not. Yeah, so the poskim say, we'll be talking about that as well, Mitzshem, that the taking off should be done in the same way. Then putting on, and therefore according to us it should be in the standing way. There is a the Mishnah Berurah that is going to be following here in Sifkot Mem Beis. The next month Mishnah Berurah, we will be leaving it. We're not going to be doing it tonight, but it's going to give us the rule. When is it that we follow Kabbalah, and when is it that we don't follow Kabbalah? What is the rule? The concept behind it. When do we pass in according to Kabbalah? When do we don't pass in Kabbalah? But that we leave for tomorrow evening, Mitzvah Hashem. So Rabbi said tonight we discussed. We discussed that a person should ensure. The Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that a person should ensure to put on tefillin shel yad and then straight away put on tefillin shel rosh. We said that Ari HaKadosh didn't do it like that. He would first do the seven kichas, and it seems to be universally dominic. However, when it comes to a situation of hurrying rush of getting the Dvarim Sheva Kiddusha, a person should, in such an instance, taka do like the Shulchan Aruch, just put on the tefillin shel yad, and then without the krichas, you go straight for the tefillin shel rosh. That seems to be a correct procedure if a person wants to catch Dvarim Sheva Kiddusha. We spoke about the positioning of the tefillin that ensure never to be ein ma'avirin al mitzvahs. And we also spoke about the standing and the sitting for the brachas. The Ramaz Minig is that a person should stand for both the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, unlike the former minig, which is mentioned here as well. We also started off the shiur by sharing this interesting Och Shulchan with regards to Baruch Shem, Kvot Machusel Leilam Vaed. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, having said this, I wish you a very good evening.